Our next item, Mr. Robertson, if you can introduce that item.
Yes. So item 7 is consideration of a proposed resolution adopting the human right to water as a core value and directing its implementation in Central Coast Water Board programs and activities. Item 7 recommends a board action. We are recommending approval of the resolution. This item is a follow-up to the March board meeting, also here in Santa Barbara, where we had an environmental justice module, which included a viewing of Thirsty for Justice, if you recall. As part of that meeting, the board directed staff to develop a resolution in support of the human right to water for the Central Coast Water Board's consideration, and further directed staff to include actions and specific timeframes for implementing those actions. I also want to call out there is a late letter from Hillary Hauser of Heal the Ocean in your folders associated with this item in support of the resolution. Okay, and we are recommending adoption of the resolution, and Section Manager Angela Schroeder, our Environmental Justice Coordinator, will provide a brief presentation. And I also want to note that Monica Baracarte of our staff will be available to provide Spanish translation during the public comment period if needed, and Monica is in the back corner. There she is. Okay, and Angela.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, Chair Wolf, members of the board. My name is Angela Schroeder, and I am a section manager at the Central Coast Regional Board. So as John mentioned, today is I am bringing to you a recommendation to approve Resolution R3-2017-0004, which adopts the human right to water as a core value and directs its implementation in Central Coast Water Board programs and activities. As John mentioned, the State Water Board adopted a human right to water resolution in February 2016. This proposed resolution is to implement the human right to water in the Central Coast region with concrete details tailored to our regional needs and priorities. So before I begin, just an outline of my presentation, I'll give some background on the human right to water law policy in California, talk about the Water Board coordination and the water quality conditions in the Central Coast region. We'll go over the proposed human right to water resolution and some of the ways we are implementing it today. I'll summarize public comments and then end with a stock recommendation. So the history of California water policy includes lawmaking efforts to protect drinking water for the benefits of all Californians. Existing law establishes various state water policies, including the policy established in Water Code Section 106, that the use of water for domestic purposes is the highest use of water. In 2012, the governor signed the Human Right to Water Law, and California became the first state in the nation to legally recognize the human right to water, declaring that it is the established policy of the state that every human being has the right to safe, clean, affordable, and accessible water adequate for human consumption, cooking, and sanitary purposes. Relevant to the water boards, the law also requires all relevant state agencies to consider the human right to water when revising, adopting, or establishing policies, regulations, and grant criteria. In his bill signing, Governor Brown stated, "Clean drinking water is a basic human right, and protecting the water we drink is an absolutely crucial duty of state government." The State Water Board, Office of Public Participation, led by Gita Kapahi, who is here today, coordinates to assure the effective implementation of the human right to water law. As I mentioned, in February 2016, State Board adopted their own resolution. And in April 2016, the Central Valley Regional Board followed with their own human right to water resolution. As John mentioned, at the March 2016 Central Coast Water Board meeting, board members discussed the Human Right to Water Law, viewed the Thirsty for Justice documentary, and heard comments from environmental justice agencies. The board indicated at that time their support for a Human Right to Water resolution and requested that staff develop a resolution for the Central Coast region. However, the board also requested that the Central Coast region's resolution include specific actions and timeframes. The proposed resolution for the Central Coast region is included in Attachment 1 to the staff report. So why do we need a Human Right to Water resolution in the Central Coast region? In the Central Coast region, the Water Board is the agency with primary responsibility for protecting drinking water sources from pollution. In fact, in most cases, we are the only agency with regulatory authority to protect sources of drinking water from contamination. In the Central Coast region, nearly all communities rely on groundwater for at least part of the drinking water supply. And many communities, such as Monterey County, are 100% dependent on groundwater as a drinking water source. Our reliance on groundwater becomes critical during times of drought and will continue to increase with growing demand. Due to our reliance on groundwater, the contamination of this resource can have far-reaching consequences. Thus, protection of drinking water sources is essential. Despite the board's efforts, pollution of drinking water and impacts to affected communities continues to be one of our most pressing challenges. A 2013 State Water Board report to the legislature identified communities whose primary source of drinking water is contaminated groundwater. The report indicates that the primary anthropogen contaminants in public drinking water supplies are nitrate, arsenic, perchlorate, PCE, and TCE. Statewide, 680 of 3,037 large community water systems rely on a contaminated groundwater source. 90 of them are located in the Central Coast region, serving approximately 250,000 people. These numbers only reflect the larger systems and do not reflect the hundreds of state and local community water systems that are also impacted by contamination. For example, in Monterey County, approximately 200 state and local small community water systems are impacted by nitrate alone. Additionally, GeoTracker data for domestic wells indicate that in some areas of the Central Coast region, up to 40% of the wells sampled exceed the drinking water standard. On several occasions, the board has had the opportunity to hear directly from individuals and communities about the impacts of drinking water pollution. Regrettably, these challenges often disproportionately impact disadvantaged communities and individuals. And this picture here on the bottom left is a picture of the San Lucas community and their postings regarding the unsafe drinking water. So in light of the critical need for us to better protect drinking water sources, the proposed Human Right to Water resolution provides an opportunity for the board to memorialize the human right to water as the top priority value and consideration integrated into decision-making throughout all of our programs. Approval of the resolution also offers the Central Coast Water Board the opportunity to provide clear direction to staff and transparency to stakeholders regarding the board's intentions to implement the Human Right to Water Law. The Central Coast Water Board's proposed resolution builds upon similar resolutions adopted by the State Board and Central Valley Board and adds more detail to inform implementation. So now I'll go over some of the details of the resolution. As shown in Attachment 1, to effectively integrate the human right to water in our programs, staff has organized the resolution into specific key categories of activities. Prioritization, implementation, outreach and participation, performance monitoring and reporting, and partnership. For example, resolve paragraph number 6 relates to prioritization. It directs staff to prioritize regulatory programs to prevent and address discharges that impact and threaten drinking water sources. One way that staff does this is by ranking sites and assigning staff resources to the cases that are the highest risk drinking water and public health. This is routine for our site cleanup program, which prioritizes sites that impact drinking water. For example, the Buckley Road case in San Luis Obispo, where TCE has been detected in drinking water. Another example related to implementation is resolved paragraph number 8 in attachment 1, which directs staff to consider affordability and avoid transfer costs to communities affected by drinking water pollution. One way that staff does this is to work with responsible parties and grant programs to obtain funds to provide interim and long-term replacement drinking water. Also related to implementation, resolve paragraph number 12 directs staff to prepare a work plan that includes specific actions and time schedules to ensure progress. And the purpose of the work plan is to provide transparency and accountability to the board and the public about the specific activities related to the human right to water. However, the work plan is not a regulatory document and it's not enforceable. The work plan component was specifically requested by the board, and an example work plan for 2017 is included in attachment 3 to the staff report. Resolve paragraph 13 through 16 all relate to outreach and participation and are intended to promote real opportunities for stakeholder engagement and decision-making processes, especially for those impacted by drinking water pollution and who tend to be underrepresented. This picture on the right here is a picture from a February 2016 community forum in Las Lomas. Resolve paragraphs 17 through 19 relate to performance monitoring and reporting and are intended to promote accountability and transparency regarding the success of our efforts to implement the Human Right to Water Law. An example is the development of our drinking water dashboard, which you have seen included as part of the recent executive officer's reports. Finally, resolve paragraph number 20 directs staff to pursue partnerships with other agencies and organizations to advance the human right to water. One of the example of this is our improving coordination with the Division of Drinking Water and local environmental health agencies to focus on common priorities. And today we have representatives here from both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. In addition, staff is also involved in collaborative projects with UCLA, Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, the Center for Urban and Rural Environmental Stewardship, to implement new and innovative ideas. And we're also participating in the Civic Spark AmeriCorps Fellowship Program. These partnerships help to increase our collective regional and local capacity to protect and ensure safe drinking water. And this bottom picture is a picture of an Environmental Justice Coalition for Water outreach event in the San Gerardo community. So in summary, there's a wide range in drinking water source quality in the region. In many areas, sources of drinking water are excellent quality. However, in some areas, sources of drinking water are in very poor condition and impacts to communities are significant, especially disadvantaged communities. The Central Coast Water Board has the primary responsibility and authority to protect drinking water sources, and we must improve our program implementation. The resolution identifies the human right to water as the top priority and ensures human right to water is considered in a broad range of activities and projects of the Central Coast Water Board. The proposed resolution does not expand the legal scope of the human right to water law. It does not impose any new requirements on the regulated community and does not expand any obligation of the Central Coast Water Board to provide water or otherwise alter existing law. In terms of opportunities for public comment, a draft of the Human Rights to Water Resolution was released for a 30-day public comment period in early December. The Central Coast Water Board received 4 letters commenting on the draft resolution, not including one late letter we received from Healy Ocean, which you should have in your packets. We received a letter from the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, representing a large group of environmental justice and environmental organizations and individuals, a letter from the Residents Against Fracking, and also a letter by an individual, Laura Rosenberger-Hader. Those letters and also the one from Hilly Ocean are all in support of the resolution. We also received a letter from the Grower Shipper Association of Central California. And with respect to that letter, GSA primarily objected that the prioritization of safe drinking water should be adopted through a Basin Plan Amendment and not a resolution. They also asked that we remove a number of findings that did not appear in the Safe Water Resolution. In response to Grower Shipper's comments, we made one clarification and resolved paragraph number 11, but generally did not make any changes in response to Grower Shipper's letter. So in closing, staff appreciates the effort made by the various stakeholders that have provided feedback on this proposed resolution. And staff is committed to work in this important area. And we recommend that the board adopt resolution number R3-2017-0004 as proposed, incorporating the human right to water as a core value and directing its implementation in Central Coast Water Board programs and activities. And with that, I can address any questions.
Thank you. And also, I do have 14 speaker cards on this item. So, you know, if you have questions now, well, stretch in your mind, and then we'll go through the 14 speaker cards, okay? And mics, please. Thank you. Mr. Yacht.
Okay. Thank you. Angela, if you could go back to pages 9 and 10, and those are the kind of the bullet points out of the resolution. And to what degree is staff already doing those things?
Staff is doing many of these things, and I gave you many examples.
Right.
For example, besides to say there's a lot of room for growth in these areas. One example is prioritization. So the site cleanup program that Taya Tryon is currently leading is a great example of prioritization, where she's prioritizing sites based upon threats to human health and drinking water. That level of prioritization is working through our programs, and we're trying to do better at doing that, for example. You might remember we had that presentation a while back with the red line and the priorities above and below the line, and trying to make sure that the ones that we were working on were the highest priority.
So the board has already established some policy with respect to safe drinking water over time. Staff has been implementing that, and this simply further refines that, adds more meat to it, and puts it in the form of a board resolution. That's essentially what's happening.
Yeah, and we're also trying to get to a higher level of accountability and the ability to measure that we're getting what we want to get done. An example that Angela brought up was the dashboard in the executive officer's report that has recently shown up with respect to safe drinking water. That's a first cut, and if you look at it in this edition, you'll see there's draft written on it. It's a work in progress. The ability to measure our organizational change that is pushing prioritization deeper and you know, permeating that throughout the organization. And then effectiveness. How effective are we at providing safe drinking water relative to the need for safe drinking water out there? You know, and that's the dashboard, you know, the accountability aspect. So we're starting a lot of things. We know things that we still need to change, too.
And then for our attorney, the one comment from Grower Shipper is that this should be done as a basin plan amendment, but I would ask you, if we're not creating a regulation, what really would be the purpose in pushing this through as a basin plan amendment? I mean, is there any justification for that?
No, we don't think there is. It's our perspective that we're talking about prioritizing or allocating internal resources, and this isn't something that would significantly affect others outside of the agency. And I think Mr. Robertson has already indicated this is already going on, and this is merely a resolution that recognizes the board's current practices. So you are correct. There would not be a person adding that to the basin plan.
So I'd like then to proceed. Oh, you have a question? Okay. Angela, can you summarize the changes made after the initial draft of this resolution due to the public comment on the original draft?
Sure. The one change that was made in response to the Grower Shipper Association comments, let me get it right back in front of me here. Sorry, I'm just trying to find my notes.
So I think it's on page 4 of the resolution in result 11.
Thank you, John. So on resolve 11, on attachment 1, page 4 there, it says, I'll read, just read the whole statement. Direct Central Coast Waterborne staff to consider policies that allow for and incentivize local and regional efforts for protecting drinking water and providing replacement water where appropriate, while long-term water quality solutions are developed and implemented, including related to the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. In that first sentence, it says, direct Central Coast Water Board staff to consider policies. It used to say to implement policies. And Rose Shipper's letter correctly points out that prior to implementing, you must develop policies. And so this will allow us to consider developing policies or to consider implementing policies developed by State Board, for example. So we change that text.
Okay, thank you. And when we had our board briefing and we talked over the phone about potential inconsistencies between the whereas paragraph 7 and the resolve paragraph 1, do you have any recommendations since our briefing? I have a suggestion, but I wanted to hear yours, if you had any new suggested verbiage.
So, yes. So, if turning to page 3 of attachment 1, that first resolve paragraph 1 says, currently states, adopt the human right to water as a core value and adopt the resolution of the human right to water as a top priority. And Board Member Donato pointed out that that was not exactly in line with the finding number 7 on page 2, which says that protecting human health and and by addressing discharges that contribute to pollution or contaminated drinking water sources are the Central Coast Waterborne's highest priorities. So he was pointing out the difference between the term highest priorities and a top priority. So the proposed language to make these two statements parallel, I would suggest, are in resolve paragraph number 1, if it reads, adopts the human right to water as a core value and adopts the realization of the human right to water and protecting human health as the highest priorities. So it adds the human health component, because that's the other one of our highest priorities, and it clarifies that that protecting human health and adopting the realization of human right to water are the highest priorities.
Okay, so I'm sure this sounds pretty arcane for us to be discussing this level, but sort of summarize, you'd say that preventing and addressing discharges that could threaten human health are our highest priorities. And secondly, that protecting human health is the top priority?
I have them both as the highest priorities. So the way I have it, my suggested edit was adopts the human right to water as a core value and adopts the realization of the human right to water and protecting health as the highest priorities.
As the highest priorities.
Please, plural.
Okay. All right, thank you. Two very brief questions. Resolve paragraphs 17 through 19 are those new to our region, or are there some version of them also in the state or Central Valley Board's resolutions?
These are all paragraphs
17, 18, 19.
So on page 4, 17 is an existing resolved paragraph in the State Water Board's order, although it says direct State Water Board, not Central Coast Water Board. 18 also exists in the State Water Board's order. 19 is slightly modified just to be relevant to our region, and that's per the work plan. So in number 17, it describes how we will update the board, and we clearly specified it. We will update them on the work plan.
Okay, and last is similar to the previous, paragraph 20. Is that new or in some other state or Central Valley resolution?
Resolved paragraph number 20 also exists in the State Board's order.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's see, no lights, so I'll start with Jenna Drasko. Sorry if I mispronounce. And these will be 3 minutes comments.
Hello, my name is Jenna Driscoll, and I'm the Watershed and Marine Program Associate for State of Water Channel Keeper, and I'm happy to be here today to show Channel Keeper support for this resolution. As you know, Channel Keeper has been active on many different water quality issues over the years, including one highly relevant to this resolution, irrigated agriculture. One of the aspects that makes our work on irrigated agriculture so notably different from many other issues we work on is the direct and widespread impact that it can have on drinking water supplies. Though we tend so often to be focused on issues related to wildlife, aquatic, and marine ecosystems, this is an issue that has immediate relevance to human health. And though in this part of the county we are mostly fortunate to benefit from clean, relatively clean aquifers and treatment systems that can deliver clean water to our homes, as we've learned from our work developing the Ag Order, there are many communities and homes, mostly minority communities in the Central Coast region, that do not have even basic access to clean drinking water. And while in this day and age it may be surprising or even shocking that in this country, in this state, some people lack access to clean drinking water, policies and resolutions like this one are a critically important step in the right direction because they both provide an acknowledgement of the problem, as well as assurance that economic interests will never outweigh the basic and essential needs of people, regardless of race or class, that have access to clean and safe drinking water. Channel Keeper supports this resolution, and we commend the board for demonstrating its commitment to protecting human health and the basic rights for community members throughout the Central Coast region. Thanks.
Thank you for your comment. Next, Ms. Leslie Terry, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wolf and members of the board. I'm Leslie Terry with San Luis Obispo County Environmental Health Services. I'm here today in support of staff's recommendations to adopt the human right to water as a core value, as well as its implementation in the Central Coast Water Board's programs and activities. Environmental Health Services values its partnership with the Central Coast Water Board staff as we work collaboratively to ensure that our residents have access to adequate and safe drinking water. Our recent efforts have included providing private well owners with information and resources to properly maintain and operate their private water well systems. The San Luis Obispo County Domestic Well Testing Project, which is identified in the draft 2017 annual work plan, proposes to use GAP funds to assist residents to test their private water well quality. This is very important because many of our residents do not have the means or expertise to perform such testing. Water test results will allow residents to make informed decisions regarding their water quality. Specifically, is it safe, clean, and adequate for human consumption, cooking, and sanitary purposes? A core value and top priority in the state of California and supported locally. Thank you for your time and consideration of staff's recommendations.
Thank you. Next will be Corey Radis, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Corey Reyes, speaking on behalf of Heal the Ocean. Our organization believes that water is a basic human right, and we encourage the board to approve this resolution. We also offer our assistance in three of the tasks outlined in the 2017 work plan. This assistance means the hiring of intern staff by Heal the Ocean to accomplish the following three items in the work plan. First, to map drinking water impacts, particularly the development of region-wide GIS maps to identify areas where public and domestic drinking water wells are impacted by common pollutants. Heal the Ocean has long worked on the problem of septic systems leaching into groundwater, and in the case of Los Olivos, this is a serious issue we are working on with the community. Mapping areas of groundwater pollution would be immensely helpful in addressing such issues. We would love to help the board accomplish this goal, however possible. Second, uploading groundwater data to GeoTracker. We have previously paid... Something is said. We encourage you to adopt this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. And also as a reminder, additional speaker cards are closed for this item, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. So thank you for your comment. Next up, I apologize on my inability here to read the name. I think the first letter of a first name is A, and the affiliation is EPA. So who among you would that be? I've asked my colleague to maybe help me a little more. Abby? How much coffee did you have when you wrote this? Gosh.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Abby Taylor Silva with the Grow Shipping Association of Central California still. We'll see. EPA's lost some of its funding recently, so I don't know that I'm going over there right away, but thank you. As you know, a human right to water resolution was adopted by the State Water Board and subsequently by the Central Valley Water Board, and these resolutions were almost identical. Our concern is not with the Central Coast Water Board's interest in adopting a similar resolution. In fact, agriculture on the Central Coast has displayed a high commitment to this issue, in some cases for decades. I've stood before you before and talked about the fact that the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition has noted that over 80% of their members are providing replacement water in instances where there's a higher nitrate value in their wells. I think that our concern is actually with the fact that the resolution before you is so different in notable and remarkable ways from the resolutions in these other areas, and that's due to new verbiage and critical words that have been changed. The proposed additions are of concern not only because is the draft resolution in our mind in conflict with what was adopted by the State Water Board, but we also believe it alters the intent and purpose of the human right to water statutes, as well as the Central Coast Water Board's authority under the Porter-Cologne Act. We have highlighted our concerns in our letter. I'm not going to go over them again, as I know you have that, but I just want to reiterate an important point. Porter-Cologne requires balance and reasonable use in the prioritization of one beneficial use over all others, and the way that it is detailed here is inconsistent with Porter-Cologne. Specifically, this board changes language if it accepts this resolution to make the prevention or addressing discharge that could threaten human health by causing or contributing to pollution or contamination of drinking water sources of waters of the state its highest priority instead of one of its highest priorities. While we understand the need to protect human health and appreciate and support that, the finding as proposed fails to find a balance between ensuring that individuals within the Central Coast region have access to safe and affordable drinking water and that the economic activities associated with discharges are also key to the region's economic health. Further, the Water Board's charge is to protect and maintain all beneficial uses, including aquatic life, agricultural, industrial, recreational, and other beneficial uses of water. To claim here that one beneficial use is the Central Coast Water Board's highest priority is in conflict with Puerto Colón, which states that activities and factors which may affect the quality of the waters of the state shall be regulated to attain the highest water quality which is reasonable, considering all demands being made and to be made on those waters and the total values. We encourage you to adopt a resolution that is consistent with the State Water Board's resolution and not this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. Next is Ms. Maria Elena Kennedy.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wolf and members of the board. My name is Marilena Kennedy, and I'm here from Southern California. I work in disadvantaged communities and environmental justice communities throughout the state. I'm glad Abby talked about economics, because I'm here to support the human right to water because of the economic benefits to the state. It's in all of our interest to keep communities safe, and one of our best ways of ensuring our safety and health is through safe drinking water. Healthy employees are productive employees. So my take on this resolution is that I wholeheartedly support it because of the economic benefits it brings to the state of California. Again, I applaud this board for its foresight in ensuring economic development for all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next will be Mr. Mike Jordan. Seen you before, Mr. Jordan.
Again, Chairman Wolf and board members. So it should be troubling when you look at that slide that Angela put up there on Water Code Section 106.3 that we actually have to restate not just a person's right to water, but actually clean water as a core value. Even more troubling, to use some of the words you heard from the GSA, is that some would caution that such a priority needs to be more balanced in its application. That balance has long been seriously off-balanced in favor of those established economic interests. And they're to the obvious detriment of others, and most frequently and especially affecting those who are socially, economically disadvantaged. That's further compounded by those people also being the least able to defend or advocate for themselves. Past or status quo efforts are exactly what have led us to the current state of either on-the-ground or in-ground water quality. To suggest that the proposed language is contrary to the intent of legislation is simply wrong and certainly has to be unsupportable from a community or human rights perspective. Your action today will only begin to bring the uses and benefits back to a balance. A lesser action will certainly just keep it out of balance or move it further from balance. Proclamations are really nice, but they're simply a road sign along the road of the many paths you can choose to follow. It's still important to put the wheels on that idea and drive it where you want to go. Support both today and long term with a specific work plan that includes adequate funding, staffing, and resources, and a public commitment by each of you to this effort is crucial to make sure that simply another proclamation doesn't end up in a stack of proclamations. I'd encourage you to personally endorse this as proposed and support its adoption today. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Good to see you again. Ms. Gila Capay. Thank you for coming from Sacramento.
Actually, this week I was in Orleans, California with Yurok Tribe on Tuesday. On Wednesday I was in Redding, and Thursday I'm here. So from Redding to Santa Barbara. But it's my pleasure to be here.
Do you have wings?
Lots of frequent flyer points and lots of road miles.
All right.
Anyways, Chairman Wolf and board members, I'm Gita Kapai, the Director of the Office of Public Participation and the Environmental Justice Coordinator for the State Board. I'm pleased to be here today to support the Central Coast Regional Board on the proposed Human Right to Water resolution. As you know, I took the resolution 2016-0010 before the State Board on February 16th of last year, where it passed unanimously. I'm pleased with the Regional Board's resolution, which goes beyond the State Board's resolution and furthers the implementation of the human right to water in the region's decision-making, plans, and programs. I especially wish to commend staff, particularly Angela Schroeder, for her work on this issue. The region has a long history of recognizing the importance of safe drinking water and environmental justice considerations, as is evidenced by previous work leading up to this resolution. I've had the privilege of attending field tours and working with environmental justice advocates in the region, along with regional board staff and board members. On February 22, 2017, I will be presenting the annual update on human right to water to the State Board. I will be reporting on actions towards implementation since the adoption last year. Work has been progressing on a human right to water web portal, and the three key pieces of human right to water include affordability, accessibility, and safety. The new web portal will eventually show all three. To begin with, information on compliance will be shown. I look forward to be able to report that Region 3 has adopted its own resolution in recognition of the importance of the human right to water. On behalf of the State Water Board, I support the adoption of the proposed resolution. Adopting the human right to water is a core value at the Central Coast Regional Board, and I thank you.
Thank you very much. And appreciate you carving out time out of your busy schedule. Next is Mr. Schimmick, please.
Steve Schimmick, the Outer Project and Monterey Coast Keeper. I'm reminded how much I miss Mr. Jordan and Gita. Me too. Exactly what they said. The human right to water is absolutely essential, but it's not the essential part. Implementation is the essential part, and to underscore that, bottled water, treatment, point of use fixes are not the solution. They're just not the long-term solution. And you are the agency. You are the agency that has control over the longer-term fix. And it's your job to protect and restore clean water as it comes, as it should come from Mother Earth. This is what you do. So in the longer run, the things that you need to do are pass orders that have clear and enforceable numeric standards, standards that are enforced, number two, adequate and transparent monitoring so that the public can watchdog as well. And finally, clear, time certain benchmarks, milestones, and deadlines. Orders that contain those pieces, I think, are what's required to get there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shum. Next, Heather Lucas.
Hi, thank you. I traveled here today with a group from Salinas and some from even further away to support the board's adoption of the Human Right to Water resolution, the whole resolution as it is written. I also want to point out, I'm going to talk about the human side of the human right to water. We are just a small fraction of all of the people here in the Central Coast, the state, and the world who are united by our common support in the human right to water. We believe in a world where, as it's written here, every human being has the right to safe, clean, affordable, and accessible drinking water. And I personally am very proud to live and work in a place where many elected officials and community leaders agree. Professionally, as you know, I work for the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water here in the Central Coast. Previously, I worked for the Community Water Center in the San Joaquin Valley. And in my role as a staff person for both organizations,
I've had the deep privilege to work alongside colleagues and community members who have been fighting for clean water and affordable water for years. Some of them here, for even for decades, in many places. And I believe and I know it will take a strong commitment over the long haul to secure safe and affordable water for all. Today, I want to just take a moment to recognize so many of my colleagues, including several former staff from the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, who worked hard to bring these environmental justice issues to this very board and to engage communities in a joint effort. I would also like to recognize our organization's many partners, including those, especially those here, from San Gerardo Cooperative, for their tireless work to secure clean water in their community, and also for the mentorship of our organization and many other communities and organizations in the Salinas Valley facing similar water issues. I appreciate also all the organizations and individuals who submitted written comments and who've given spoken comments. It is truly a great coalition. Lastly, I just want to thank your staff for your continued dedication to these issues, drinking water, public health, and underrepresented communities. And I believe very firmly that it's going to take all of us, you know this board, your staff, our communities, current and future staff and volunteers, and many others to ensure that every human being in the Central Coast in California has access to safe water. My point is that also I agree with former speakers, adopting the Human Right to Water resolution today is one important step. The journey predates us and needs to continue if we really want to see it implemented here. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Could you give your name again for the record?
You pronounced it actually quite well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, my name is Heather Lucas. Last name is spelled L-U-K-A-C-S. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, Monica Vermillon, please.
Hello, my name is Monica Vermillon, and I'm the Central Coast Outreach Specialist for the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water. EJCW works with disadvantaged communities affected by high nitrate levels in their drinking water wells throughout Salinas and Pajaro Valleys. I'm here today to thank the Central Coast Water Board for taking the steps necessary to further implement the Human Right to Water and also to highlight its importance in the communities where EJCW currently works. Communities affected by nitrate contamination, some of which have displayed levels 7 times above the state MCL, can definitely benefit from a proposed annual work plan. A strategic plan that can target the most effective, vulnerable, disadvantaged communities can assist EJCW in ensuring those greatly affected by contaminated water sources have access to clean, safe, accessible, and affordable water. EJCW is currently working with communities in the Salinas and Pajaro Valleys that have varying nitrate levels ranging from 47 milligrams per liter of nitrate as NO3 to 338 milligrams per liter of nitrate as NO3. This is only a small subset. There are countless others who may not be aware of their current water quality. For this reason, it is imperative for the board to maximize the availability and the accessibility of data and information regarding drinking water quality. This step will be instrumental not only in the development of solutions, but most importantly, it will help protect public health. EJCW and various community partners understand that implementing the human right to water is a process that will take some time. In the meantime, providing replacement water while long-term solutions are developed and implemented can have lasting impacts on the communities where EJCW currently works. Thanks in part to your board, over the past quarter, over 5,000 gallons of water were delivered to various communities throughout Monterey County. These communities are immensely grateful for this assistance and can continue to benefit from your continued support. Once again, EJCW applauds the Central Coast Water Board's efforts to further implement the human right to water. Strategically enforcing its policies is imperative to ensuring disadvantaged communities have access to information pertaining to water quality, assistance in short-term solutions such as interim bottled water services, technical assistance in the development of long-term solutions, and lastly, have allies in their quest for environmental justice. EJCW welcomes the opportunity to work with the Central Coast Water Board to facilitate these processes and to help ensure that the human right to water can flourish not only in the affected communities we are aware of, but in the entire region. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next is Horacio Amakita.
Good afternoon. My name is Horacio Mesquita, and I'm with the San Gerardo Cooperative. I just want to say that I come here to support all of you and the staff for taking this road, because the community of San Gerardo have to go through a very hard road. We have no safe water. We lost all our wells, and people got sick very bad. We were not able to refinance for years and years. And right now we still have affordable issues. People only receive $745 a month. They have to pay food, rent, electricity, gas. And the county may sell our water system. We're hoping that they become more humans and help us to gain the water system for the community that was built. So I'm just hope that the communities that are having troubles in California don't have to go through what San Gerardo has gone in the past. So I appreciate that you guys are working on this, and I give you all my will for you guys to do this, to take this resolution and go for clean water for humans and the environment and the ecology and to develop ways of not contaminating the water. So I support you guys because it's a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Horacio.
Next is Jaime Alcala.
Buenas tardes,
and then I'll give a little extra time, you know, for the translation, so don't worry about the light.
Okay, mi nombre es Jaime Alcalá, vengo de la comunidad de San Gerardo, y estoy aquí para apoyar a la solución para el agua humana, para agua limpia, para que todas las comunidades que ocupen esto puedan recibir ayuda como a nosotros nos la dieron.
Hi, I'm here from San Gerardo. I want to support the resolution, the human right to water, so all the other communities like San Gerardo
que puedan recibir también ayuda para que puedan obtener agua limpia y para mejor salud. Gracias.
I hope that all the other communities like San Gerardo could also have access to clean and safe water and also have human health.
Es todo. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Next is Mario Estrada.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Mario Estrada. Soy miembro de la comunidad de San Gerardo. He vivido por 23 años ahí. Estuvimos sufriendo mucho por tocante al agua contaminada.
Hi, I'm here also from San Gerardo. I've been living there for 23 years, and I've been suffering. We've been suffering quite a bit due to the contamination of the water.
Muchas personas se enfermaron por el agua contaminada en la piel, pérdida de cabello y también casos de cáncer.
A lot of people were sick because of the contaminated water. They had issues with their skin, they lost their hair, and also some of them developed cancer.
No sabemos si es por el agua, pero existe la posibilidad de que exista una relación. Gracias a Horacio y a todas las personas que nos apoyaron.
We don't know exactly if that was due to the problem with the water, but we think it's a some relationship between the issues, and we really want to thank to the work that was given by Horacio and other people that are working to provide clean water.
Al estado logramos tener agua sana en la comunidad.
Thanks to those people and to the state, we were able to have access to clean Thanks to you, the human right to water can also help other communities to have access to clean, safe water like we do have them now. Thank you. Thanks to you.
Gracias, Señor Estrada.
So this concludes the speaker cards for this item. And we, at this time, you know, are doing a final review of the language. And Mayor Delgado had some suggestions that he made for page 3, paragraph 1. And I had a couple of, I guess I'll characterize it perhaps as wordsmithing suggestions to be made. And these are in page 4 of the resolution. And one of the suggestions that I would like to make is in the paragraph 11, where we refer to, after the second sentence, you know, providing replacement water where appropriate while long-term water quality solutions are developed and implemented. And I would suggest to add to water quality and include the word and quality solutions. And the reason I suggest to add quantity to quality is that there is a direct nexus between water quantity and water quality. For instance, if your well is running dry and you're pumping mud, that's a water quality issue. And furthermore, toward the end of a sentence, we refer to the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which is predominantly in regard to water quantity. So my suggestion was to add the term and quantity next to quality as one item. And I have a couple of other suggestions, which are also brief. And this is on paragraph 14, where we say, direct Central Coast Water Board staff to provide opportunities to communities that lack adequate, affordable, or safe drinking water. And I would suggest substituting the term opportunities to utilizing the word outreach. So it would read, direct Central Coast Water Board staff to provide outreach to communities that lack adequate, affordable, or safe drinking water. Because I think it makes it a little bit more of a, you know, a direct recommendation. And then lastly, on paragraph 16, where we state, direct Central Coast Water Board staff to eliminate impediments to data access. I I was concerned of the term eliminate, because eliminate means 100%. And when we're talking about impediments to data access, there are many impediments. You know, some of it, if I may use an example, would be accessing GeoTrack and looking at well information. Well, if you don't have a computer and you don't have internet access, well, you can't basically access the information. So I was looking for a substitution without necessarily diluting, you know, the spirit of what we're trying to say here. So I thought to use the term to minimize impediments, which then would match a little bit the next sentence where we refer to maximizing the availability. So those were my three, you know, what I refer to wordsmithing language changes that I would propose in addition to.
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion that we adopt this resolution as before us, with the changes in the resolve paragraphs 11, 14, and 16 that our chair has just enumerated, and the change in the resolve paragraph number 1, as Angela read it earlier, which approximately states, and protecting human health as top priorities. But unless someone wants to hear her suggestion read again, that would be my motion.
I'll just read that for the record so it's clear. The suggestion was adopts the human right to water as a core value and adopts the realization of the human right to water and protecting human health as the highest priorities.
Correct. So we have a motion made by Mayor Delgado. We have a second. Any further comments? Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, I have some comment. I intend to vote for the motion. I spent quite a bit of time looking at Growership Association's comments, and I think, you know, sometimes this whole question of how we're dealing with drinking water and nitrate pollution can appear as if it's sort of a battle between environmental justice advocates and the agricultural industry, and you know, to the extent that it appears that way, it concerns me greatly, because I mean, I understand that we're a regulating agency, that folks representing farmers that we regulate are going to push back some on regulation. But when I talk to people in that industry, including to their advocates, I mean, they get the fact that it's their workers enough and their members who are drinking this water. And that's really important, because I don't think we really solve the problem of how we have a productive farming industry on the Central Coast without polluting the groundwater with nitrates, without real active engagement of the agricultural industry. We don't have the answers. Everybody's working on them. That industry is essential. And frankly, as Abby and others have heard me tell them frequently, it's to their great benefit to have a robust environmental justice community here, because environmental justice advocates get the fact that their base works in that industry. That industry provides them a living and their jobs. So I took the concerns that were raised seriously, and you know, I think there were, what I took out of it were two principal concerns. One was, are we setting policy that appropriately legally needs to be set through a basin plan, and I agree with the advice we got from council that we're not, that we're talking about putting down priorities that we've really been implementing already, and just making it very clear. But the other question that that the Gore Shipper Association raised was, well, it sounds like this resolution makes drinking water the be-all, end-all, whereas what the law requires of the Water Board is to balance the various beneficial uses of water. And I'd like to just address that briefly. First of all, this region has had a series of priorities that we've gone through repeatedly over the years. The last time, I think, was about 3 years ago, where we've said, what are our priorities as a region? And the top priority of our region, which was reaffirmed, had already been the top priority, we reaffirmed it last time, was protection of human health. And so, you know, looking at this resolution, and of course the main function of a regional water board is to regulate discharges to the waters of the state. That's our kind of our core function. So looking at number 7, it says, preventing and or addressing discharges that could threaten our human health, by causing or contributing pollution or contamination of drinking water sources of waters of the state are our highest priorities. Now, maybe that's a little expansion because it's talking about contributing to pollution or contamination of drinking water sources, but I don't see it, frankly. Protection of human health has long been our highest priority. Regulation of discharges to the waters of the state is our core function. So I don't think we're really expanding that, and I don't think that, and we've had this debate on the board at other times when it wasn't the question of the beneficial drinking water use versus the beneficial use for irrigation, but when it was the beneficial irrigation use versus the beneficial use of fish and wildlife. And I think we get that we have to balance those uses, and that's actually addressed in here. I'm looking, just a second.
I think you're looking at number 7 on page 2, the second sentence.
I am, thank you. Such discharges should be regulated to attain the highest water quality, which is reasonable, considering all demands being made on those waters and the total values involved. I mean, we get that we have to balance values. At the same time, we get that we have to have priorities, and that human health is the highest priority of our region. So I'm fully in support of this resolution as written, but at the same time, I just really, it makes me uncomfortable when I feel like we're sort of setting up this counterposing of agriculture versus the environment, because I don't think that when you really talk to people on the ground in agriculture that they necessarily look at it that way. They view themselves, we don't always agree on how it should work, but they view themselves as protectors of the environment too, and they're drinking that same water. So that's what I got to say. I'm in support of the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And so we had a first, we had
Mr.
a...
Mr. Jarvis?
Yes.
I would like to make a comment before you adopt, or before you vote.
With your indulgence, in Resolve 14, you suggested we replace the word opportunities with outreach. The word opportunities goes towards the next part of it, to engage. So it's opportunities to engage. It, I believe it's similar to what the Water Board's resolution had, and I believe it should stay as is. Replacing the word opportunities with outreach doesn't work. So the word opportunities is followed by to engage further in that paragraph.
And through the chair, I'll defer to you about modifying the motion.
Well, let me read it one more time.
Okay.
directs Central Coast Water Board staff to provide opportunities to communities that lack adequate, affordable, or safe drinking water to engage in water board activities and provide meaningful input to water board decisions that affect their communities. Okay. All right. One plus for you.
Okay. So I'm modifying.
What you're doing. You're saying you want to keep the language that was originally in the staff report.
So I'll modify my motion to delete any reference to resolve paragraph 14.
Got it. Mr. Young.
Yes. I agree. Second.
I have comments still. I have a question.
Okay.
Sorry. So I want to thank you, Board Member Johnson, for articulating what you did. I hope that there isn't a pitting of agriculture against environmentalism, as it often seems to be the case. But and I won't go on any further, but I echo Board Member Johnson's sentiments. And I think that, you know, our charge is also to be actionable in our mission statement. Obviously, we're supporting the State Water Resources Control Board. They have an initiative for affordable, safe drinking water and have a dialogue on it week after next. And so I think supporting the, you know, ongoing state mandate and also understanding the primacy that Regional Water Quality Control Board has in making some of that policy implementable and actionable is our charge. So I'm highly in support of this resolution, and thanks staff for all their work. I had a quick follow-up question since we didn't hear from Heal the Ocean, and was wondering what the protocol was on sort of a partnership between what they're offering and our ability to accept that offer.
Actually, we had Heal the Ocean speak.
Yeah, they got cut off, though. I don't know if they got their full 3 minutes, and in the letter, they did offer services in order to support our ongoing efforts, so I just wanted to make staff to follow up on this.
Exactly. I was going to promise to go back and find out what those other two things were that she didn't have time to articulate.
Yeah, can I ask Corey to come back up? And thank you.
Wait, could we perhaps, I mean,
I know there's a motion on the table,
yeah,
but you want to close that before?
I thought to close this, and then we can bring back ELV Ocean, since it may get into something slightly different than this particular topic, because it gets into more assistance that Heal the Ocean is proposing.
That's right.
I'm flexible. I'm just trying to keep things a little bit tight.
Yeah, that's managed that way. I'm happy.
Yeah, thank you.
Be quiet.
Karina, anything else?
No, I just wanted to very briefly comment, because I know that during our board briefing, I did bring up the issue of affordability, and I did appreciate our environmental justice organizations, as well as our water board staff, really talking me through the considerations around the question of affordability and how much can communities and cities actually pay to ensure that they're delivering safe drinking water to community members. But I wanted to really, in appreciation, highlight what was mentioned in the letter by our environmental justice organizations around, taking into serious consideration new infrastructure that's needed to deliver safe drinking water to communities, as well as the rehabilitation of aging infrastructure as well in communities, as well as the ongoing maintenance cost of delivery. I think all of those are very important considerations when we're talking about impact of communities and ensuring that they have access to clean drinking water, because I think that one of the greatest injustices that we've seen in many communities throughout the state is residents being asked to pay for the delivery of water that they cannot drink. So I think it's something that we really need to tackle head on and just be very explicit about when we're talking about long-term water solutions. And the Central Coast, but also throughout the state.
Thank you, Karina. So we had a motion, we had a second comment.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, everyone, for being here today, especially gracias a las personas de San Gerardo por tener el valor de estar aquí y hablar. Thank you for having the courage to be here today and to speak. It's not always easy, so thank you. That's it. Thanks.
Mr. Young?
Yeah, I appreciate everyone's input on this. And, you know, Mr. Jordan did kind of, I think, highlight something which is important for us to keep in mind. I mean, obviously, we're all in favor of this resolution, but if you think about how we got to this point in time where we need a resolution like this, it's because of the way we have been, you know, regulating waste. And now it's been getting into groundwater. So, you know, the status quo has not been working. And this resolution simply kind of lasers our attention even more so onto a priority that probably is the top priority. I mean, if you think about it, when push comes to shove, we really need to have water, clean water to drink, probably more than any other use. You know, the comment about this being perceived as somewhat of a kind of a conflict with ag, I think it's unfortunate that appearance takes place. You know, I want to say, Abby, that sometimes the letters that we get from GSA kind of set that up somewhat. And so I always read them, and I always just methodically go through and try to look at the points that are being made. You know, is this kind of a regulation? Should we be going through basin plan amendment? I check that off, you know, and that's not really true. Then I look at the prioritization compared to other uses. And that's what starts to set up, I think, you know, the conflict between this particular one. And I think that there would be a better way to kind of project that. I know ag, when it comes down to it, is supportive of clean water for people to drink. There's no question about it. But I think that your position could be better articulated so it doesn't set up that kind of dichotomy that gets misinterpreted. And, you know, you could just say we support it and, you know, we look forward to working with you on trying to make these things achievable, you know, throughout the region. You know, just keep in mind that, you know, it's taken, ag has been in existence for a long time. There's been a lot of practices that have been going on that have just not been put into check until recently. And it's going to take time to get things you know, better refined and cleaned up. And I think that's really what the truth is about this and where we're headed. It's going to take time, but we have to start moving this huge 800-pound gorilla, you know, in a way that brings us to where we all want to be, and that's just clean water. So I'm supportive of the changes, the language changes, and I'm supportive of the resolution. I think it's important.
And I, you know, myself have just a very brief comment, and it's a couple of thank yous. One goes to Angela Schroeder, you know, for the good work you're doing and you have done in researching and formulating this resolution. And the other thanks is for someone who is not here today, and that's Dr. Hunter. Because of her assistance also and being our liaison in support of environmental justice. And I know if she was here today, you know, she would also express her, you know, appreciation for the rest of the board, confidence in this. But I wanted to also express my thanks to her for, you know, the good work she's been doing for us. So that ends my comment. And we had a motion, we had a second, and do we have any additional comments? OK. Okay, I see none. So then I think we can move to a roll call vote.
Chair Wolf?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hunter?
Absent.
Member Cervantes?
Yes.
Member Delgado?
Yes.
Member Gray?
Aye.
Member Johnson?
Yes.
Member Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and also appreciate all the folks who came today and to provide us input. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. So let's take a little 15-minute break, and we reconvene at 4:45. Thank you.